Our first reading is from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. Amen. I think something that we all recognize, there are many writers in the Bible, and each of the different writers of the Scripture speaks differently, even when they're talking about the same thing. They shade it differently, or they emphasize different points. They bring out different insights from the things that they are talking about. And this is one of the blessings of having four Gospels instead of simply one, as well as the other epistle writers and the prophets that we have. They don't contradict each other. They complement each other. And so John is not Matthew, is not Paul, is not Isaiah. All of them speak clearly about sin. All of them speak clearly about salvation in the one, the Son that God has sent. But each of these writers speaks uniquely because they're all different people, just as you and I are different people. And we've been hearing from John the last couple weeks. We've been hearing from his gospel. We've also heard a couple readings from his first epistle. And you'll note that John, one of the things that John picks up on is the contention between God and the way that God works, and the world, and the way that the world works. And you see this already in the first chapter of his gospel, where he says, "The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." The sinful world sets its eyes on things other than the sun. And so this is something that John warns Christians about in his epistle. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." And then the last line we had in our gospel reading today was, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." Now, we can hear John say these things over and over again as he does, and we can think that John is maybe a little bit extreme. Since we were talking about differences between writers earlier, maybe we just decide that John is a pessimist. And so we would like to take him aside and say, "No, sure, John, we get that there are a lot of awful things in the world, things that we hate, murder and violence, famine and disease. But we would like to say to him, but John, that's all on one end of the spectrum. The majority of life, the majority of people, the majority of our time is taken up with much more mundane things, much pleasanter tasks, things like family, work, shopping, eating, school." And undoubtedly, there is truth to that. There is a difference, obviously, a difference between war and a typical suburban lifestyle. But one of the points that John keeps repeating over and over again is that it is the pretty, it is the pleasant things in life that can tempt us away from Christ. Few people, he would agree, few people are drawn to violence or disease. But a lot of people are drawn to those things that we listed earlier: family, work, shopping, eating, school. And while those things are not warfare, they're nonviolent, John would point out that they can also easily be godless. And oftentimes they are. We heard Jesus say last week that he is the vine and we are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This week's reading continues immediately following that. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Among other things, Jesus is saying here that our life comes from God, that God loves the world in his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we abide in him by hearing and keeping his words, and that the commandments that he gave us, these are how we correctly love each other. This, he says, this will lead to our joy being full. This is the goal of the Christian life. We are to abide in Christ in everything that we do, seeing him as our source of life, seeing his sacrifice on the cross as the pinnacle of love, and that listening to and doing what he says, that is the way to properly live out our lives here on earth. He tells us, this will lead to your joy being full. All of this is centered around Jesus, is centered around the Word of God. Jesus doesn't say anything here, John doesn't say anything here about war and violence, famine or disease. Neither does he specify family or work or school or shopping. But that all of life needs to be centered around Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Where we have that, we have life. Where we do not have that, we do not have life. Our first reading today, Acts chapter 10, we heard about Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is a soldier. His duties are a combination of what we would call soldiering as well as police work. This means that most likely at times his job entailed violence and war. And yet earlier in the chapter, he is described this way by Luke, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. In that chapter, an angel comes to Cornelius and tells him that his prayers have been heard, and he is to send for a Simon called Peter. That is how we end up with our reading today, with Peter preaching to Cornelius and his family. So we have a Gentile, a soldier, someone whose life might, we assume, be filled with all of the bad things in life, all of the things like war and violence, and yet that man loved God and his neighbors. Meanwhile, over and over in the Gospels, we have Jesus interact with crowds of normal people, even Pharisees and chief priests, people we would assume are going about their lives doing normal things, doing good things, and their lives would have in many ways looked like our lives more than Cornelius's would have. Their lives would have been more looked like suburban or rural lives. And yet this did not please God. The life of the Pharisees was not full of violence, and yet it was done in rejection of Christ. Even though they had all sorts of religious talk all about them, John, as well as the rest of the gospel writers, point out that there is danger in the normal things of life. The normal things of life, these are the things that are full of the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride of life. And so when we hear these things, we need to ask, how are our lives shaping us? How does your job shape your expectations? How does your kid's schooling shape his or hers? Or the talk that you have with your friends, how does our culture at large shape us? Does it look towards Jesus Christ and abiding in his word? Or does it look toward the desires of the eyes and pride of life? And this is not a call for saying that you need a religious job or anything like that. Cornelius, as we said, was a soldier. Paul makes tents. Peter was a fisherman. Most of the people in the congregation, most of the people in the Gospels and the Epistles have normal jobs. It's not a problem with their jobs. But those are the places where people interact with each other. These are the places where we are in contact with the world and where it shapes us. And it's not that we can avoid it or even that we should avoid it. Christ doesn't take us out of the world. But he does warn us. John warns us that we need to be on guard in the world. We are to be in it and yet not of it. This is something that Jesus will say in John chapter 17. And we need to recognize that there are ways in which the normal world, our world, rejects Jesus Christ. And it wants us to do the same. This doesn't happen only on the extremes. This happens in ordinary life. We see it centered on a rejection of God's word. Christ mentions the commandments, living according to the commandments in our reading today. I think all of you know that the commandments are not popular in our world today, to say the least. And the world hates these commandments. The world hates people who speak these commandments, who live according to these commandments. And so Christ says, well, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus wasn't crucified because he was violent. He didn't threaten the lives of the scribes and the Pharisees in that sense. But he did make them worry about their jobs. He did make them worry about their standing in society. He did make them worry about the status quo that they were used to. And that might be changed if people believed in him. And so they said, if accepting Jesus means losing out on the desirable things in life, if it means giving up certain worldly joys, if it means losing respectability, then it was not for them. The world has not changed in regard to that. But against the world stands Jesus Christ. And he says he desires that our joy would be full. He is working towards that end. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And in our reading today, he calls us friends because he tells us and reveals to us the Father. And in him, Peter says, in him is forgiveness of sins and life. Let us see that now. Let us always see that and to live our lives from his love and his life. Amen.